Our Heavenly Father, we come before you in a spirit of thankfulness, gratitude, as we recognize that you are God of goodness and love, and we know that you have the best interests for our lives. You desire to help us, to bring meaning to us. And yet we are conscious that many a time we have gone our own ways according to our own thinking, following the ways of the world, and grieved your heart. We pray that you will help us as we look at the scriptures together to view life from your perspective, to understand what is of true value, of true worth. Help us pursue that which will last for eternity, that we may not only bring meaning to our own lives, but also be able to contribute positively to the lives of others. We look to you that the Spirit of God will be with us to teach us, help us understand the scriptures, and to see how they apply to our lives. We look to you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are considering true worth, and for today we will continue our consideration of the subject, What Am I Worth? The second message. In the first message, we have seen that many of us can be very easily affected by the problem of self-esteem, very much affected by how other people view us, treat us, relate with us. Today, let us go on to consider how should we pursue true worth in our lives. As we recognize that there are many difficulties and problems that we face in this world, it is good for us to seek to understand why is it that we face so many difficulties? Why is it that we do not find true meaning, fulfillment, peace, and joy in our lives? What is it that we want in our lives? What are we pursuing? How can we find true meaning and satisfaction? Let us consider the example of two disciples of the Lord Jesus. These are men chosen by the Lord Jesus because of the potential in their lives, where there is a meaningful direction in their heart with desires towards what is morally and spiritually good. And yet, as we look at their lives, we can see that there are difficulties, deficiencies that need to be resolved. There are areas that they need to correct. And as we look at their lives, we can learn for ourselves how we too can learn and grow together. We will consider issues arising from as well as associated with this example. We consider issues that are relevant for all of us to ponder over and also to apply in our own lives. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. There are some helpful questions that we can ponder over as we read this passage, and they can help us to think over our lives and consider the principles that are relevant to us. Why did these two disciples want to sit on the right and on the left of the Lord Jesus in his glory? The passage tells us that James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came to the Lord Jesus with a specific request. And they said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And when the Lord Jesus asked them, What do you want me to do for you? They replied, Grant that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. It is helpful for us to think, what could have motivated them to make such a request? As we look at the context, in Mark chapter 10, as well as in the record of the Gospels in general, we can see that in their hearts there was a desire for greatness. We have read how the disciples argued among themselves who was the greatest. Now they ask to sit on the right and on the left of the Lord Jesus in his glory. Those would be, in their understanding, positions of greatness, very close to the Lord Jesus in his glory. It may come through to us that this would be a very poor kind of motivation, very worldly in spirit, and not befitting of disciples of the Lord. However, we should also recognize that in our hearts, very often, there is a mixture in our desires and direction of life. It is quite likely that their motives were not entirely bad. It is quite likely that they appreciated the Lord Jesus. They recognized him to be holy, righteous, and good. And so, they wanted to be close to him. And the closest to him would be on his right and on his left. That we can say is a meaningful desire to be close to the Lord Jesus. However, from the context and the reply of the Lord Jesus in this passage, we can see that there were aspects that were not right in their desire and in their attitude. They were seeking for positions of honor and glory. This is very likely to be related to their sense of worth and importance. It is likely to be related to their desiring to find meaning and fulfillment in life, to find true blessedness and meaningful happiness. Is this not also true in our lives? We want to develop a true sense of worth and importance, that we are valuable. We want to find fulfillment. We want to be truly blessed. So in their understanding, that would be the best thing that could fulfill their desire. And so we see that they were very specific and very definite in their request. They said to the Lord Jesus, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. We want you." They knew what they wanted. They asked the Lord Jesus to do for them what they would request. What do we want? What do we seek for? What will we ask the Lord to give to us or to help us with? For many people, seeking for a position of honor, of praise, and of glory is a very common desire. We may not put it in this way, but it very often motivates the way we conduct ourselves, the things that we pursue. When people praise us, we very easily become very happy. When people say negative things about us, we can easily become depressed. This applies in all areas of life, whether it be at a place of work, at home, in society, among friends, in a family. It very easily affects us. We often think that when people praise us, or when we are in a position of honor, it means that there is worth in our lives. Easily we hold that view and concept. But in reality, it is not true. If we want to find true fulfillment and meaning in life, we need to correct ourselves in many of the wrong areas of understanding that we have accumulated over the years. Praise from others does not mean great worth in our lives. Even in situations where people may say very strongly positive things about us, it can mean nothing of value. In fact, it can at times be very negative in nature. Let's look at a passage that helps us appreciate this principle. Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 23. "Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, and having won over Blastus the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace, because their country was fed by the king's country. And on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died." Here is a description of a man in a position of power and honor in this world. Herod, a king. He was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They came to him with one accord. They were asking for peace. The reason given here is that their country was fed by the king's country. They were concerned as to what would happen to them if Herod were angry with them. So they wanted to make peace with him. So we are told that Herod took his seat on the rostrum, dressed in his royal apparel, and he delivered an address to them. In all likelihood, he would have sought to speak impressively, authoritatively, and to assert his position of power. The people were very happy to respond by praising him in very, very strong terms. The voice of a God and not of a man. He was very highly praised. But what was the meaning in this situation? We are told, immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God the glory. Herod was not struck dead because the people praised him. He was struck dead because of a wrong attitude in his heart. He did not give God the glory. It's a description of his pursuit of power and glory for himself, displaying himself with arrogance and enjoying the adulation of the people. He liked it when they made such a remark, the voice of a God and not of a man. He did not humble himself before God. He was prepared to be exalted, to be like God. And God showed his displeasure through the angel who struck him. God wants us to know that ultimately the praises of men do not determine our worth, and the attitude of our heart is of primary importance in terms of what God values. So if we are seeking for praise from men, beware. We can, as a result, nurture a heart that God will be very displeased with. If we like the praises of men, we can easily pursue things that people may praise us for, but God may be angry with us. At the same time, it's also important for us to recognize that praise from other people is not always bad. At times, praise from others can be meaningful. The important thing is to recognize why the praise comes about. What motivates the people who praise us, and what is our attitude when we are praised? Romans 13, verses 3 to 4, tells us of a kind of praise that can be meaningful. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. So the Apostle Paul tells us, if we do what is good, we will have praise from the authorities, the rulers, who are carrying out the process of justice. Where God has ordained authority to maintain law and order, to encourage what is good and to punish that which is evil, if we practice what is good, we will have praise from these authorities. This kind of praise is meaningful if we are doing what is right because we love what is good. If our attitude is correct and we do what is good and we are praised for it, it can be a meaningful thing and can form part of our testimony of our walk with God and the quality of our lives. But we need to be careful as to the motivation in that context. If we are looking forward to praise from men, or we become proud as a result of the praises that come to us, it will also lead to damage in our lives and will not promote true worth in us.